welcome everybody back to Stand By Your Band. This is a very special episode we're doing. Tom Takkar is currently in LA, so I'm going to be hosting this one with Brett Arnold.
Hello.
Who you may remember most recently from our Cats episode.
I did defend the movie Cats.
But don't judge him for that.
Don't.
His previous episode was about the band Humphreys McGee, and this is a very special episode because we are joined by the keyboard player from Humphreys McGee, Joel Cummins, everybody.
I just want to point out I'm being held against my will. Not here by choice.
This is
We threw him in a van. Yeah, it was very old school style.
I'm very excited to do this because, we always talk about bands, and we have not had the chance to have someone who's had an episode about them come onto the show, so this is very exciting for us. And you listened to it when it came out, and what did you think of Brett, how he did on the show?
Yeah, I mean, he tried really hard, but unfortunately, you guys are super clever.
Oh, wow, thank you.
And, the truth of the matter is when you've been a band for 22 years, you make lots of mistakes, so there were a litany of things for you guys to pick on with us.
Well, yeah, we hope we weren't too harsh.
It was all true. I mean, what can I say?
Some of my best friends have been indie guys forever, and they would always go see you, and they were so excited when I told them that we were doing this today. I had a group chat with five guys that are freaking out right now that I'm talking to you. So it's truly an honor. And
well, cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
I'm required to say this, but I'm happy to be here.
Oh, yes.
Remember the against the will thing he said at the top throughout this whole time. I actually have the messages you sent to me after I sent you the podcast, which are very funny. I just pulled them up.
Okay, all right.
You said, my favorite thing that you said is, it's so hard to listen to. Good God, why are you doing this to me? And you said you were pretty upset that we talked a lot about your Chicago advertisement song, which I don't know if you've gone on record about before, but I want to say, wasn't it like you recorded a song with Buddy Guy, his horn section or something?
It was Buddy Guy's on it, and it's the Chicago horn section.
Oh, wow.
From the band Chicago. Yeah.
Wow.
Chicago Transit Authority.
I think the big misconception here is that we had it was kind of a funny project, and we had a number of lyrics that were handed to us. So,
they wanted
certain phrases to appear in there. It was going to be an advertisement for the tourism board or something, and so it was going to be in cities elsewhere that were not Chicago.
That's where it would play. Idea. Okay. Yeah. The Pure Michigan ads that we have to see in Chicago.
So yes. I think, right, exactly. So I think it would be much more convincing, for somebody that didn't know Humphreys or didn't know Chicago. That was the idea. Unfortunately, we kind of let the cat out of the bag and didn't really anticipate the vitriol that we received. So
what year was that? Do you remember?
I want to say 2011 or 2012.
It
was Rahm Emanuel who wrote those lyrics personally.
We're really nitpicking 8 years later if we're still going back to that.
I mean, it's really it's kind of hard to find online. I feel like it was a thing that happened, and I don't know. I think what I said on the old episode was, has any tourism board written song ever been good? And I don't know if anyone has receipts on that, but it seems like a hard thing.
There's got to be a couple good ones out there.
Right?
Well, Bernie Taupin used to write for the Manchester Tourism Board, and they had some amazing songs.
back in the lean Elton years.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, a little tourism board gig.
I see you've been watching the Rocket Man deleted scenes.
I just read the book, his Elton John's book.
Oh, okay.
So he's been on the mind.
I see.
So I wanted to talk about, being in a jam band, do you like, first of all, jam band as a categorization, do you have any qualms with that?
Ooh.
Well, I just want to lead off by saying I don't even really like our band. So this is the twist that you could not anticipate. No. So I'm here to clear the air.
This is a bombshell episode for us.
Bombshell episode.
Dude, you're going to be on liveforlivemusic.com, the front page, splash.
Story's already up. Already tweeted it. So it's interesting because to the people on the inside of it, I don't think they really care. Mm-hmm. But it has this horrible, even to me, I feel like people that don't know what happens at our shows, they get the completely wrong idea of what we are immediately when you say that.
Totally.
And the reason that's true, I think, for Humphreys McGee is just because we've tried to kind of evolve our sound into a way that's more progressive and rocking and focused.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, aside from the 62-minute Ringo that we just did, we're not a very, like, noodly, you know, we kind of get to the point and...
Yeah, noodling is definitely the thing that people get mad about. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, we're not like... I don't know. I think you immediately conjure, it's more of like a Grateful Dead sound to me,
right.
Which is cool. It's great. It's its own thing. It's just not what we do.
Yeah. Well, I saw you guys for the first time after we recorded the podcast at the Cap Theater. And
also
it was an amazing
against,
show.
Also against as well.
No, it was
also
great.
Against, we have a lot of people being forced to do things here.
Well, it was right after Tom Petty had passed away and you guys opened with Running Down a Dream and it was such a great cover. It was awesome.
We'd never played that one before. We just kind of learned it that day.
Yeah, you nailed that. And it was, well, Brett had talked about in the first episode, he called you guys a cover band.
Oh, God.
There you go.
That's the thing I got a lot of shit for.
That was probably right when I wrote you. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, well, I meant it as a compliment when I said it. I think I had a bunch of asterisks even then. I was like, well, I think they wouldn't like me to say this. But I just think... Because I was trying to say, when you guys do a cover, I feel like it sounds like the song you're covering. And that's impressive to me. And it was meant as a compliment. But I didn't mean to reduce Humphreys down to a cover band. But I do think you guys do great covers. And you debuted two this weekend
Thank you.
And I'm assuming a third tonight, but this episode is coming out later. So
I'm gonna take this opportunity to tell you guys about a little game that we have. I might have taught Brett this, but there's two ways it can happen. It's called the Complisult game.
What is it called?
And Complisult game. So there's people that are like Brett that think they're giving someone a compliment and then realize that, you know, this is not how they're taking it.
Yeah.
And and then we've turned it on its head and said, let's see if we can try to like intentionally come up with stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know. Mm. So like for instance, let's say
Brett
was a musician and I you know, was really enamored with his show. So I'd come up to him and be like, "Oh, Brett, man, my wife and I have seen you guys now a bunch of times and I just got to say, like, we have the best time every night, and it's because, like, we've never found a band that reminds us of our wedding band like you guys.
Oh, my God.
Like, you guys just bring us back to that night. It's so special. Thank you so much.
That's so funny.
So that's how you took that.
That's exactly how I took your comment, yeah.
Great. Cool.
My brother exactly gave me one of those over the holiday break where I was home. I did a show in Chicago at the Hideout, and it was, like, packed out. It was a great show. My brother, on the way home, was like, yeah, that show was really great. I don't get why people weren't laughing more. It was really funny. I was like, oh, good. Well, I thought they were, but...
yeah, from my vantage point, it was fine, but thanks.
Yeah.
Do you get, like... So, are there a lot of people that are tweeting mean things about Humphreys? You know, like, how do you get lumped into jam band stuff, and like, how does that affect you?
I see that shit. Do you get mean people tweeting at you?
Oh, a lot of. Well, no, usually it's more subtweets though. There, very few of them actually.
Yeah.
Want to get my attention.
But then you find them. I don't know how you find them. But you find them.
I can't engage.
Can't
reveal my ways. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it get to you at all or not?
I was trying to explain to him like the Discord of like some jam fans how like. I love Fish. I love Humphreys. Like, I don't really... It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. There are some people who are very one or the other, and I see them go at it on Twitter, and it's like, I've never tweeted in that way ever, and I just don't... I distance myself from it. I feel like you snarkily will comment on that, and those are the ones I enjoy.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, just, you know... Social media is a lot more fun when people are just making jokes at each other.
Yes.
Everyone's just riffing on the joke of the day.
Yeah, as opposed to trying to make some sort of earnest point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fun to, you know, and some people I think probably will just see my response and they don't know or care who I am because most people don't know who Humphreys McGee is.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for humor there. Let's put it that way. but you know, we've always been kind of self-deprecating, and I think our our music is definitely not for everyone. I totally acknowledge that. You know, if you have good taste, you're not going to like Humphries McGee. You know,
that's why you don't like him. You have good taste.
Fortunately, there are a lot more dumb people in the world than smart people. So that really,
That's why you tour the country. You hit everywhere. Yeah, you get everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really, you know, fortunately, there are enough people who do like what we do, and we actually get, I feel like, a lot more positive feedback than negative. I mean, it's interesting because we go up there and play shows, and to us, in 2,500 shows in, it's kind of, it feels like it's just our everyday thing. It's like what you do. And so sometimes you kind of forget that it's bringing people together and that this is something that can create a lot of joy in a lot of different people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, for that when we hear about things like that, you know, people that met their best friends or, you know, met a significant other and got married, that kind of thing, I think is what now makes the music even kind of more important on a different level.
Totally.
There's like, I would say there's a faction of Humphries fans that are like statisticians about it. And like, I mean, there's a whole website to cater to that, allthings.humphries.com. I'll plug it right now. I wasn't told to. But
that was free will. Right there.
Total free will. Total, very natural.
Yeah.
But my question to you is, I know you're a Fish fan and I'm sure you at one point in time were obsessive about it in that way. So like, are you obsessive about your own band in that way? Do you listen back every show?
I mean, I don't listen back to everything, but the things that I feel like I need to listen back to, or, you know, I will.
Okay.
I want to hear if, you know, things are sounding good. Obviously, you have the two different things. Are you playing a composition well, and was this a good creative moment? And the reason is, it's kind of hard sometimes. When you're in that moment of creating, you're not thinking about really remembering something except for the fact of like, we're improvising this riff and we go away from it. It's like, okay, should probably remember what I played 30 seconds ago in case we go back to it, you know? But like, as the show's going along, I'm not at all, I'm always thinking about what's happening right in that moment or what the next thing is, you know, there's no time spent processing what happened.
Yeah.
So it's funny how sometimes I can listen back to things and like, I'll know what I'm going to do before it happens.
Right.
That'll happen sometimes. But also there are times where I'm like, oh, I don't remember this happening at all. You know? So
yeah,
I think that's like, I don't know.
I mean, you've hit 10,000 hours or whatever the threshold for expert is so many years ago. I feel like at this point. Like,
yeah, right, right.
So, like, I feel like, how do you remember? Yeah, you must not remember every note you play every show.
Well, and so much of it is muscle memory, too. So, you know, things oftentimes are tighter when you're not super, you're more letting it happen naturally because my hands know what to do at this point, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think, you know, we have 200 original songs or something that we probably still play. So there's a lot of stuff to know, and like we have to go back and, you know,
and all those covers that you're known for.
And then you add in the covers, which really make the show.
And the requests you guys take.
Anyone
who wants to hear a song, just yell it out.
And, anybody. I mean, one of the, people say we are some of the best at taking requests. So
I wanted to talk about, you came out with a book about, can you give me that title? I forget.
It's the Realist Guide to Successful Music Career.
So yeah, I think that's really cool. And just as someone who is in, you know, creative field also, I think it's something that's really helpful because I think people really have no idea about the finances of any creative endeavor. As we learned on our last podcast when Brett said that you guys were the richest people in the world.
Another thing you got mad at. No, you came at me with saying they were rich. And I'm like, yeah, they sell out Red Rocks three nights in a row. They're doing great. And then you told me, you know, Humphries is like an organization. That's like a business. And there's a bunch of people on your staff. And
we give them all health care.
Yeah.
You know, they're on salary. They got health care. Sorry, you had a question. I'm not sure what Brett is talking about.
Oh, no. Yeah, I just wanted to. Yeah, I'm just kind of interested in what kind of the book, like, what are you just kind of laying out? the realities of how you need to tour with the way streaming works now and everything. Is there's no real money in album sales. And I just put out an album last year, so I kind of have realized that. And
You're like, oh no, where's the windfall?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I try to cover as many different areas as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought in a lot of other people to talk about it, people that had way more expertise than me, you know, particularly as it goes with how to put out music, streaming, using... you know, social media and technology to your advantage, mm-hmm. and how that can be a helpful thing. But Sid Schwartz was the guy that really contributed on that, and he
from FAO Schwartz, the toy store,
right? Yep. Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, they have been making toys for over 50 years, so obviously they're doing something right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we really branched out into music, toys.
Yep.
But yeah, there's conversations with Huey Lewis, Chuck Lavelle, Victor Wooten, Susan Tedeschi, Ivan Neville, Taylor Hicks, a lot of different people. Pete Shapiro, whose venue we're playing at tonight, the Brooklyn Bowl.
I love Brooklyn Bowl.
Do you know about this abandoned Chicago Brooklyn Bowl that I've heard was coming and then isn't happening anymore?
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard about that.
Does anyone have inside info?
I could tell you.
Yeah, you'd have to kill me.
Yeah, I went and visited one place where they were looking at. I mean, it's such a tricky thing to figure out the right neighborhood and also to have the blessing of your neighbors as well that would want that to happen.
That's another thing I talked about in the last episode that I think most people agreed with, is that the Chicago venue situation is pretty dire. I think it's getting better, but the venues I grew up going to are like the Riv and the Aragon and the Vic, and I feel like they all still sound shitty when you're there. Do you have any?
That may be a problem with your ears.
Oh, okay.
Just yeah.
Do you have like a favorite? Really fix that. Do you have a favorite venue in Chicago?
Famously hate to play Chicago. They don't play anymore. They won't do it.
Well, I'll say this: There's so many. I mean, I bet we've played 50 different places in Chicago.
Yeah.
But most recently, we played this venue that has only been a concert spot for, I think, 3 or 4 shows so far. But they basically took an area on the lakefront right near Fullerton and Lakeshore Drive, mm-hmm. and fenced it off. And it's called the Lakefront Green. So the view is back looking down at the Chicago skyline, like through the stage.
That's incredible.
And we got lucky this year when we did it. And we had it was like a 75 degree sunny day.
Oh,
it was
beautiful.
It was perfect. So so that one was pretty fun. And I'm hoping that's a place that maybe we can do some more stuff at it in the future. Always love the Park West.
Yes, I love Park West. Yeah.
Kind of has that Club 54 vibe.
It's so cool.
But that was our first real big venue that we played in Chicago. And now Brennan and Jake do their holiday shows there. Humphreys hasn't played there in a while. But
it's too tiny.
I love it. It's like a 1,000-person spot.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah,
what is Brooklyn Bowl? That's about 1,000, isn't it? Like 1,200?
It is. Like 850 to 1,000, depending on the configuration.
Right on.
Do you have dream venues that you haven't played yet? It seems like you guys have played everywhere now.
Yeah, right? No, they mostly put us in the crappy places, so we still have a lot of dream venues.
Yeah.
They're playing in Iceland soon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we are. That was... So here's a funny comment from that. We play 85 shows a year all around the U.S. Mm-hmm. and then occasionally we'll try to do like one or two international things a year. And this upcoming year, we announced we were doing 3 nights in Iceland. And we kind of thought to ourselves, like, okay, hopefully people will be interested in this. Maybe a few will.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to do as well as like holidays. The event
right.
that we have an event in the Caribbean that we've done annually for years.
I went to one of those. It was lovely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Indoors.
Oh, yeah. On the beach. Set up a stage on the beach.
That's
and
amazing.
Just have like a 4-day party. But anyway, so we put it on sale and it sold out in 5 minutes.
Wow. And is that Icelandic people or is that?
No.
People who come out. That's wild.
Definitely mostly people from the U.S. I think right now there's somewhere between like 80 to 100 local ticket sales per night. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So some people got in on it. But.
That's cool to hear too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But somebody who is a local there, you know, like was told, Eric, oh yeah, we had no idea who this band was. They came and sold out three nights at the Harpa Concert Hall. And they're like, oh yeah, well, the next gig, they should play the soccer stadium. You know?
That should be one of your dream venues. Yeah, the soccer stadium. Yeah.
So whatever the Iceland stadium is, that's next up.
2021. You know? Yeah.
That's next up. So.
Is Holidays coming back this year? You probably can't. I'm trying to get all these scoops.
Yeah,
around.
My
journalist instincts are kicking in.
Like,
I'm
Tommy,
sorry.
So much
this
more.
Is a fun podcast. This is his podcast. I'm sorry.
I should.
I'll shut up.
We should really quickly. I want to play my co-host Tom Takar, who's in LA. He left a voicemail for us for us to play. So I want to let's listen to that now before I forget.
Hey guys, it's They Went to Tom, my new weekly segment. This is Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street. Sorry I can't be there. Thanks so much for coming on, Joel. I'm sorry to miss it, but Tommy said he needed some space, and he handed me a one-way ticket to Los Angeles. And said if I knew what was good for me, I'd get on the plane. And
it's a theme.
He alluded to having a gun in his pocket. I don't know if it really was one, but he seemed serious, so I figured I'd get out of town for a little while. But thank you for coming on. I don't remember what I said about the band last time you were on, last time we talked about Humphreys McGee. But you know what? If I did say anything negative, it is 100% Brett's fault. For doing a bad job. That's the only thing I do remember about the last episode is that he did do a bad job, and a lot of people said it. So that's not my words, even though I am saying them right now, and I do endorse them. But they aren't mine. They're the people's. Brett did point out to me that I said some pretty bad things about South Bend, Indiana last time we talked about this, to which I say I stand by all of those statements 100%. It's not a great place. Listen back to the things I said about it last time if you want to hear my anecdotal evidence. But you can look this up. It actually has the highest population of people who smoke cigarettes with other people in the car, including children. And that's printed on their city statue.
Where do you find that?
They're like
stat?
Proud of it. It's on their Wikipedia. Anyway, thanks again, Joel, and thanks to Brett for doing all of the recording and editing, which I assume is what is happening if we are hearing this episode since I'm not there.
It's true.
I did listen to the top five songs on Spotify again, and I had a real good time listening to them, so it's going to be a yes for
me,
why? Dog.
They're mashups.
I loved the song Come Covers. As Your Kids, and actually, I heard Tommy, maybe he was just saying he wanted to... He was saying something about coming and kids. I think he was listening to this when I was at his place last time, but it might have just been he was talking about something else. All right. Miss you, Tommy.
Come
miss
as
you
your
guys.
Kids. Top five.
Me and Tommy are doing a live episode of Stand By Your Band at Treefort Festival in Boise at the end of March. So come to that. Miss you guys.
Come
keep
to
it
Boise.
Crispy. Bye.
Yes. Come to Boise. What'd you think of the voicemail, Joel?
I mean, that was very thorough for 2 minute voicemail or whatever that was.
Very to the point.
Yeah, I mean, there was really no need to restate his position on South Bend when he just went ahead and agreed with himself. What was that?
When's the last time you guys played in South Bend?
2011.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're playing in South Bend for the first time in 9 years, and it's. You know, one of the, I think one of the better selling shows so far on the tour.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Where are you playing? What venue?
It's called the Morris Center. It's like where the symphony plays.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So cool. Take that, Tom.
Another thing that we talked about a lot, because the last very mean voicemail on the last episode, shout out to Jared.
Yes.
Yeah. He mentioned... And I think we talked about it later. He said he just kept railing against the name Humphreys McGee. Mm. I feel like this was a thing you probably must deal with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've acknowledged to ourselves and to the public that it was an extremely poor decision, and that's in the book as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you should really...
chapter one, like, don't name your band this?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's a double-edged sword, though, because, you know, we do have, like... 98% of the people don't like us because they hear the word jam band, and then 2% who are like, I'm not into Irish music, you know?
Yeah.
So you have that happening as well.
Real Dropkick Murphys vibe.
But it's also like, if you type UMPH into the, you know, the Google search, it comes up, you know?
SEO.
And oh, yeah.
So there's reasons why that's actually a good thing in the end. Whereas, totally. You know, if you have a band name, you know, if you started a band in the 90s and you didn't predict that there were going to be a lot of things, you know.
A band like Live.
Yeah, Live.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Perfect. Bad, terrible SEO. Yes. Oh, horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Can't find them. Can't find them anywhere.
There is, before I forget, I texted my friends who are big Humphreys fans, and I asked them if they had any questions for you, and one of the ones was my friend Peter said that you played in a band called Stomper Bob with our second grade teacher at St. Francis Xavier and Wilmette, whose name was Miss McDowell.
Tina McDowell, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So
she was our singer.
He just told me to bring that up. So yeah.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Miss McDowell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was Stomper Bob's? What were the Stomper Bob days?
Well, we were a band for 3 years, and the sound kind of changed as the members changed and graduated. But we started out being like kind of a 70s cover band. Let me tell you, the covers were great.
I would have loved Stomper Bob.
Yeah, you would have loved Stomper Bob. That's good. But we eventually put out an album of original material as well.
Nice.
Is that available?
Not to the public. I've done my best to hoard those CDs. I've got most of them now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Buying them back from people.
Yeah, totally buying them back. Watching for them to pop up.
When I was like in high school, I had a little 4-track recorder and I recorded so much original music that if anyone ever found would sink me as a person. And I'm just like, I know it's in a storage unit somewhere and someone could just kill me with it if they ever found it. But yeah.
I mean, think about that. That's my daily life, man.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Every day writing stuff that just makes people angry.
When did you guys start? I guess you were recording shows right from the go. It seems like pretty much.
We had a little Sony tape deck, a dual tape deck.
Yeah.
And so we were able to record 2 tapes at once of the performance as it was happening. And so we plugged a couple microphones into that. And,
oh, wow.
And then, you know, there would be a fight at the end of the night over who was going to take home the tapes.
Who got the tapes?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, again, we have most of that stuff with no intention of putting it out. Trust me. We were a bar band playing for beer and pizza. I mean, we got paid. I had a $500 minimum for us.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know.
That's not bad.
Yeah. For South Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom.
Yeah, Tom would be riffing here.
That is a year of rent in South Bend. $500 bucks. No, yeah.
There was a house at one point we were paying, it was 4 of us staying there, 3 people in the band, and I think the rent was $450 a month.
Wow.
And then we let Andy come and crash on the couch for an additional $50 a month.
Wow. That ratio, the math doesn't quite work out, but I like it.
The band members, you guys live in different cities, right? Is that
Well, now they do.
Now you do, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How does that?
Yeah, how does that affect touring and everything?
We fly. We pretty much do 3 or 4 days in a row, and then take a couple days off. Most of us in the band have kids and wives and stuff at this point, so it's just better, you know. We don't drive our wives crazy. Then we don't drive each other crazy. Yep. It's that nice balance, and you know, unfortunately, I would probably. As a business person in my book, I should say this is a bad idea.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's also been a good long-term decision because, you know, we just don't do the whole, like, go out on the road for 6 weeks at a time and not stop.
Is that what you used to do, though? Did you do the van across the country?
Yeah, we did a Suburban and another car with a trailer.
Oh, Suburban, nice.
For, like, yeah, I think it was a 6-week summer tour. And
oh, my God.
That was the only time we did a 6-week summer tour.
What year was that?
2001, I think. So summer of 2001 or summer of 2002.
So those probably aren't up on nugs.net either.
No. Nugs.
Come on. Yeah, Tommy doesn't know the lingo of the jam world. That's a real site, my friend. It is the Spotify of the jam world, and it's not to be laughed at.
You know, we're friends with the guys that own that. And they're like, one of our favorite emails we got was from some guy like, hey, you know, my wife works at the bank. Is there any way you could charge me and for it to not show up as nugs.net? Like, I have no problem paying for the service, but just this is going to be a problem.
That is hysterical.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. It's been half an hour, and do we have to go to the show?
Yeah, we have to go pretty soon. I mean, I feel like I haven't even had the chance to defend myself yet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, let's give
him the platform to. I wanted to ask. Yeah, stand by your band, man.
Yeah, well, you have to lead with questions, though, right? I mean,
well, the first thing before we get into your band, I want to ask. So, kind of the premise.
This is good.
Well, the premise of the podcast, you know, we have guests come on. They talk about a band they like that kind of gets made fun of, or they might be a little embarrassed about. So, do you have anyone like that that you're a fan of that you would feel compelled to defend?
I mean,
not to put you on the spot, I'm sorry.
You know, Coldplay is kind of a problem for me.
Oh, yeah. We just we recently did a Coldplay episode.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing is that Chris Martin's got some, you know, he's got some essential piano parts, even though they're pretty,
yeah,
they're pretty basic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I hear piano on a song on the radio, you know. Preaching to the choir there. So,
do you guys ever play clocks or anything?
Here's a funny one. So, I actually teased it once, and
you started playing the part. Yeah,
yeah. We weren't going to play the song, but I just started playing it like between songs again. Like, I want to say this was at Mishawaka Brewing Company in South Bend, where this happened, and people started booing.
No way!
Yes. Get the fuck out of here!
Yes, yeah. Apparently, we're not such a great cover band.
Wow!
I don't know.
Yeah,
no, you were too good, and they recognized it. Yeah. They were mad. One of the best shows I've ever seen to this day is their headlining set at Lollapalooza, whatever year that was, like 2008 or 2010. It was incredible. Incredible show.
Yeah, they got some hits.
Yeah, I cannot get through their new album at all. I don't know if you
haven't listened to it.
Yeah.
So you're safe on that.
What about when you were younger? Like any bands that you really liked when you were 7th or 8th? Like usually people talk about bands that like, you know, 7th or 8th grade or high school.
Okay.
Those are like usually where the really embarrassing ones come in.
Yeah, right? I mean, Dokken.
I don't know Dokken.
Yeah, I like Dokken a lot. George Lentz had some good guitar solos.
Mm.
Let's see. I mean, I was kind of into the, you know, I was into like Kicks and, you know, Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, I mean.
Did you see the movie?
Of course.
Some kind of monster movie.
Oh, one of my favorite scenes from that. I love the one with Lars and his dad.
Yeah.
And, okay, so Lars is, just to set up the situation here, the album hasn't come out yet, and they've got some like weird choral piece. I don't even remember exactly what it is, but it was something like more cinematic, mm-hmm. you know, than Metallica is kind of known for. And so Lars is all excited to play this for his dad for the first time. And so he plays it for him, and they sit there, and he's like, "So, Dad, what'd you think?" You know, and he sits there, and he's like, "I would say delete that."
Well, that's when the recording, like, Saint Anger, right? Like,
yeah, Saint Anger. Yeah,
he was probably right.
I'm sure you guys play Saint Anger every once in a while.
It was such a great unintentional, you know, comedic moment. And Lars is just so defeated, you know?
That is a harrowing fucking documentary.
Yeah.
Have you had people in your family or people you're really good friends with that, like, love you as a person but don't love the band? Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah, all the time, of course.
That's a great question.
I mean, way more people don't like us than like us, so, you know?
Is that what you really believe and find?
Yeah, well, either don't know or don't like. Yeah. I mean, that group is much bigger.
Yeah, the don't know part of the graph.
Yeah. But, no, I don't want to give something away. I guess you guys would be a good test audience to see what you think about this. But this actually resulted in me coming up with a new merch idea that I think we're going to try. So just a couple weeks ago, I was out skiing with one of my good friends, and, you know, we're talking, and she was like, "Yeah, so, you know, we were going to come see you guys on the 30th, it was our 4-night run for New Year's." She's like, "And then we had a neighbor just be like, 'Oh, we can't go. We're going to give you our tickets. We know you guys like them.'" And she's like, and my husband, Paul, was like, "Babe, you know I'm just going one night." You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's like, "He really loves you guys. And, you know, but he's an Umphrey skeptic." And I was like, "Umphrey skeptic?" I'm like, we got to make that shirt.
The Upper Skeptic. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. This will be great for people's significant others, friends, relatives, anybody who's sick of hearing them talk about Humphreys McGee.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a whole other part of the graph. You can
right. And then you'll have hopefully people that would wear it ironically, you know, yeah. trying
yeah,
to be funny.
Yeah.
But you would have some people trying to earnestly wear the shirt as well. You know?
That's amazing.
You,
yeah.
You got to write a second book because you got some more material. That's perfect.
I'm not a big, you know, not a lot of merch ideas for me. We let Ryan do a lot of them, you know, Sam, Louie, Rachel. But, yeah, this one hit me. And now the other great part of it is if we can make the shirt, then I haven't seen him since then. So I'll be like, oh, man, it was so great that you're an Humphrey skeptic because now yeah. we have a merch line. Like, you know.
That's amazing. So I think to end, here's my plan for the end. I want Brett to try and give a reformed opinion. If you were going to give a standby on Freeze, I want you to do it in front of Joel, and then I want to hear Joel's reaction. So Brett, give a pitch to someone who's not an Humphreys fan, why they should listen to Humphreys, and then we'll have Joel respond to that.
Okay. Humphreys, they've been playing together for 20 plus years. They're an incredible live act. Their studio albums are great. They have so many sounds. I couldn't even define them if I wanted to. Because they have so many different sounds and they nail everyone. One night could be a metal show, one of the next night could be a dance show. There's reggae going on. You never know. It's just a great experience. I've seen 100 plus shows now. I hope to see 100 more. I'm going again tonight. I don't know. This put me on the spot. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, how many hits do they have?
How many? So many singles. Have you ever charted on anything? Nothing? No Billboard charts?
This defense fell off really quick.
I mean, I think we've gotten to like number 60 or 62 on the Billboard, like the debut of the album.
Okay. Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
That's so
the top 200. Yeah. Hit album. With the hit album.
Yeah. Debuting it.
Can we put that on the sticker for our next one?
Debuting in number 60 whatever on the 200, top 200.
Yeah, one of the top 63 albums.
I just think if you appreciate musicianship and craft, like I know the word jam band people, you know, get scared of, but they're a very impressive band, and I think if you give them a chance, they will impress you.
Wow. Joel, what do you
think? Tommy.
I've got another game that we play,
yes.
And that is you switch. It works really well in Jam Cruise, but switching the words ship and shit. And so my remarks to you would be craftsman shit and musician shit. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's something to be said for we have achieved like our sound. We have a unique language that is us. And at the same time, it's not the same thing over and over and over again. Have we, you know, we can play lots of different ideas. We have yet to come up with any really good ideas, but we can do a lot of different ideas.
Yeah, there's still amazing. A lot of time left for the good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, the great thing about Humphreys McGee is, like, there's definitely time left to, you know, to redeem ourselves.
There's one thing to take away, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Before you go, where can people find your book? Where's the best place for them to buy your book?
So, you can go to Humphreys.com, Humphreys.com, and go to the merch tab there and get it there.
Nice.
You can go to Amazon.com and find it there.
Mm-hmm. And Brett loves the way Amazon conducts business. He says he loves what they do in the factories. He loves the whole thing.
We're very pro Bezos in this house.
On our next episode.
Stand by Jeff Bezos. Oh, I'm there. It's a Long Island City former resident.
But thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Hopefully, Chris Martin will come on soon. He can talk about what we said about him. And we'll have you back for that one.
Yeah. I'm sure Chris is very familiar with the music of Humphreys McGee, that Irish band.
All right. You can find me on nugs.net. I've been Tommy McNamara. And Brett, thank you so much for co-hosting this episode and for recording it. As a sly insult, Tom pointed out, there's no way I would be doing the editing myself.
I'll take care of it after the show tonight. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Keep it crispy.